We're back to the Neil Haley show on the Total Celebrity segment / Caregiver Dave segment. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you? Again, two people in Los Angeles. I'm freezing cold here in Pittsburgh, still dealing with this terrible weather, raining every day. And I hear your weather in Los Angeles is gorgeous, isn't it?
Another beautiful day in paradise. Sorry to rub that in, Neil. I know it hurts. But we put up with certain things here in California to get the sunshine, like elections. But we won't get into that. I want to welcome our guest, Eric Close. Amazing guy. His first thing he ever did was on MacGyver. He had a good role in Santa Barbara. Now he plays a level-headed FBI agent on Without a Trace. Well, actually, that ended in 2009.
Right, Dave. I think are we in a timeline or something? But yes, he did. He's been in some amazing shows like Nashville as well. Eric, thanks for calling. And Dave, I think, still thinks he's in 2009, Eric. Or 2000.
Well, you know, hey, it's hard to forget a really good show. And, you know, Without a Trace, the cool thing about Without a Trace and the way, you know, with the level amount of places that we can put content today, the show continues to live on. And I run into kids that were probably still in diapers. I'm aging myself a little bit, but that now are fans of the show because they're watching it because they're finding it on another network. So that's pretty cool about the way, content lives on now.
I know, it's not like the olden days. I mean, if a show's on TV, you think it's on. But with all the syndication these days, gosh, I think Happy Days is still on.
It is. I think so.
So you're just as amazing off-screen as on-screen, and we'll talk about that later. But tell us how you got started. You always wanted to be an actor? I mean, what was your first big break?
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I think part of the reason we're talking is, you know, creative people like to take on new challenges. And when I first got into the business years and years ago, my original intent was to become a director. And so as I was starting to learn more about the business, I had done some theater and I enjoyed it quite a bit, but I had my sights set on being behind the camera and telling stories. And while that was happening, I was trying to make a little extra money doing commercials and whatnot. And I started booking some commercials, and I got a Screen Actors Guild card pretty quickly. And some friends started asking me to act in their student films while I was learning about the, you know, filmmaking, and I really loved it. And I started to think, okay, well, maybe God's got a different plan for my life. And so I started to really seriously look at acting more seriously. And that's when I decided at that point to dive in, you know, head first, and I didn't look back, but I never gave up on that dream to direct. And so, you know, partway through my career, with some pushing, someone finally gave me a shot to direct, and then I started doing that as well. So, I still feel like I'm just getting warmed up and after 28 years, but I sure do enjoy it.
That's wild, wow. Eric. You know, when you talk about specifically the whole thing and acting and all that stuff, and you wanted directing, how did it kind of lead into where you ended up going from there? Like with that process, once you said, okay, God's calling me to acting, you were doing a bunch of other different things, but what kind of got you towards that really, I guess, Without a Trace, which Dave still thinks is on the air. It is still on the air, but it's not on the air as it's your current current show, Eric. But how did that kind of happen?
Well, you know, if I can go back a little bit, actually quite a ways back, I remember I hadn't been on stage in quite a while. And so I thought, you know, I was in an acting class and I was studying, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to be legit, I need to get back on stage and see if I can handle it. And so I decided, well, I'll just start out slow and audition for a small part in a play somewhere around town in L.A. And so I went in and read for a very small role. And later that afternoon, the director called me and offered me the lead in the play. And I said, oh, I think you got the wrong guy. I was in auditioning for the Sword Bearer or whatever. And he says, no, I want you to be the lead. And so I decided, all right, well, let's go for it. And at that point, I really knew that I was doing the right thing. I had a great time. We had some success with that. And so then, you know, jump forward, started building a career, you know, building my resume. And then every show that I was ever on, I always asked the show creator, which is also called a showrunner, hey, you know, I really would love to get behind the camera if our show ends up being successful. And it never seemed to work out because the shows would get canceled. Well, then Without a Trace came along, and that ran, as you know, ran for 7 years. And so I kept asking and kept asking and showing them that I was interested and, you know, really putting in the time and work, sitting next to other directors, asking lots of questions. And eventually in season 5, I got my shot, and that's when I, you know, joined the Directors Guild and started directing. So, and that's come to pass, you know, also on Nashville. And now I'm just got done directing a Hallmark, a Christmas movie for Hallmark that comes out on November 17th. So, yeah, it's been good.
Wow. Yeah, you and I have something in common. We're both USC alumni.
Hey, fight on. There you go. Fight on.
So who were some of your acting mentors that, you know, you looked up to and you got advice from, and maybe some even reached out to you and helped you out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's actors that you look up to, I guess, like any, you know, any athlete, you know, if you're a young athlete setting your sight on sports, you look at, you know, golfers always looked up, you know, guys like Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus, those guys, you know, there's baseball players, you know, whatever sport you're into. But, you know, when it comes to acting, you know, I always really enjoyed Al Pacino's work and Marlon Brando and Sean Penn, Denzel Washington's spectacular, Meryl Streep as a freak of nature. She's, you know, one of the probably the most talented actress that's ever lived. And, you know, she's just incredible. You know, and you get inspired by people like that. But then also, you know, as I was getting into acting, you know, my acting instructor, Howard Fine, had a huge impact on me as a young man getting started, and just the advice he gave me and the lessons I learned, but also other actors I work with. So I'll give you an example. A guy like the late J.T. Walsh, who was a character actor, worked with him on Dark Skies. He was, you know, he'd worked with everybody. I mean, he'd worked with Jack Nicholson, everybody. So this guy, he had a lot of great advice for me. And then my dear friend, Chad Everett, who is no longer with us as well. He and I became very close friends. He played my father on my first TV series called McKenna, and we developed a really great bond, and he really kind of became like a father figure to me, even though I have a really awesome dad, who I'm close with. Chad, you know, was sort of my movie dad, and we developed a great friendship, and he gave me a lot of advice. But I will tell you, the number one piece of advice I got from almost every older actor was, you know, I'd say, oh, give me some really sage wisdom about acting. Every single one of them said, save your money, kid. Save your money. That was good. You know what? That was
funny.
Good advice, because it's true. You never know when you're going to be working or not. It's feast or famine for us entertainment people, you know?
Eric, now, the most notable stars you've worked with, who would you say those are? Like, would you, like, if you put, you know, ones that you say, wow. You think about shows you were on, Without a Trace, Nashville. You've been in a lot of different movies and TV shows as guest starring appearances. Who would you rank as your five? Would you say, you know, all time, you know, wow, I was dying to work with this person?
Okay, well, that's easy. The number one person that I always wanted to work with was Clint Eastwood, and I got my shot to work with him on American Sniper.
Wow.
And that was a dream come true. I mean, at that point, I was like, that, you know, that was the proverbial mic drop for me. It's kind of like, okay, I worked with Clint, I can retire, but I still need to save a little bit more money. So, but it was just getting a chance to work with Clint and watch him work as a director was a dream come true. I got to work with Bradley Cooper on that film, and he is as genuine and as authentic as they come. You see him in his interviews. That's Bradley Cooper, just a great guy, a real actor's actor. He worked, you know, he made everybody feel very welcome. And here's a guy, you know, at the time when I worked with Bradley, I think he was he had already been nominated for 2 Oscars, and he was, you know, on his way to being nominated for a third and probably a fourth with A Star Is Born. But he's a great guy. I got a chance to work with Martin Landau at one time. Got to work with Tyne Daly. The list goes on and on. I mean, I've been very fortunate to work with some really amazing actors, a number of which people who've won Oscars. And there's a guy named Ron Schwery who was a big movie producer, and he won an Oscar for Ordinary People with Robert Redford. And he was a mentor of mine for right out of USC because he was a USC grad. And so guys like that, it's invaluable to have people like that in your life.
Wow. You know, you're one of the few actors that a lot of your roles, are totally different from how you are off stage, off screen. Tell us how you're different. Why? What goes on in your life when you're not behind the camera or directing?
Well, I'm a bit of a restless person in a good way, I guess. I have a hard time sitting still other than when I'm in the morning or doing a radio interview. But I'm on the go. I think life's a gift, and there's so many awesome things in the world to see and do. And if, you know, you're fortunate enough to be able to have legs that work and, you know, senses, I think there's so much out there to see and do. I love to get in the outdoors. I've always been an outdoorsman. I love to travel. It's one of our biggest passions is being able to travel and, you know, different parts of the world. And we've been fortunate to be able to do that both for pleasure and also to get involved in some organizations that make a difference around the world. And so getting to kind of tie those two together is great. I do a lot of honeydews, you know, like run into the grocery store. It's like everybody else. I spend some time with my daughter, you know, to help them take care of some horses. And so, there's been a number of times we're out there scooping horse poop up and feeding horses hay and all that kind of stuff. So I do a lot of different things. I'm actually in Vegas right now as we're speaking. I did the on-air promos last night for the professional bull riding world finals that start tonight. And so, I've kind of immerse myself in different things, but I go on and on, but I just like to enjoy life, you know, and read, enjoy reading. I'm a slow reader, but I like to read and watch movies and whatnot. So
Eric, now let's talk about, you know, you're talking about specifically doing other things and acting, being a jack of all trades is important in being in the entertainment field, isn't it? They really look at doing different things. You talk about the bullfighting stuff you're doing, right? I mean, right now, bull riding you're doing. Bullfighting's coming soon, Eric. You're gonna
I know. Up. I made you draw.
Going to be covering the
poor bulls.
The running of the bulls or going to a bullfighting event. But, Eric, have you seen that's an important part of it, especially when there are jobs that you'll keep busy for a long time, but that you get yourself involved in a variety of different aspects of different projects because of the diversity of what's available in Hollywood now and entertainment?
Yeah. Yes, I think it's important. I mean, as an actor, it's important to be diversified, I guess, in experience. Where, you know, you can draw from different experiences, but also a lot of acting is just using your imagination. I mean, if you're playing a person who's addicted to alcohol or something, you don't go out and become addicted to alcohol. You have to use your imagination. But I think, you know, it's important to go to museums, see art, read books, watch what other actors and directors are doing. Watch politics, kind of see what's going on in the world. Just kind of know, be up, you know, read the newspaper, figure out what's going on, even though sometimes you want to pull your hair out when you watch what's going on in the world. But I think all of that's incredibly important. And, you know, for me, I think some actors are content just being actors or people being just directors or writers. I'm always trying to learn new things. And so, you know, my wife and I are working on writing and trying to develop a feature film that I'm going to direct and, trying, like I said, getting behind the camera, being a director, all those things are I think important, but also just fun. I enjoy it. I like work. One of the things I love about working behind the cameras, I get to work with the whole crew. You know, it's a team effort making a TV show or a movie, and it's a lot of fun taking that script and seeing it come to life.
Hey, do you have any advice for up and coming actors or directors, especially you know, where you don't become so consumed with your career that your family life is damaged? Because apparently you've got a very good family life. How long have you been married?
My wife and I have been married coming up on 23 years.
Wow. That's hard in Hollywood.
Yeah, it is. Hey, it's hard just in life. For that, as we can see the statistics. I've been very fortunate and blessed to meet my wife Carrie, and she's I definitely married up. She settled a little bit with me, but
is she an actor also?
No. She's very creative. She makes jewelry. She, you know, for a cause, she writes. She's an incredible mom. She does all kinds of stuff. She's an amazing cook. She's very passionate about that. I keep telling her she needs to open a restaurant, but
then it wouldn't be fun.
We've been married a long time. You know, we have great role models, both sets of grandparents, and both my wife's parents and my parents have been great examples. And, you know, as far as raising kids, raising kids is not for the faint of heart, especially in this this day and age.
Yep.
You know, we've got a couple of daughters, and
wow,
you gotta be involved in their life. There's a lot of things in the world that seeks to pull them away from know what's right, and can really be harmful. And it's very important to have that family structure and that balance. And so unfortunately, as an actor, a lot of different careers often take you away from your family. And so I've really made an effort to build up the frequent flyer miles, because otherwise I'm missing out on being there with my wife and kids. And so we try to travel together. I have some friends, actor friends who homeschool their kids. We decide not to do that, but in order for them to be together, they homeschool and their kids go everywhere with them. So but balance in your life is important, and you know, I always kind of tried to stick to the thing that the priorities are faith, family, friends, you know, maybe throw a little fitness in there if you can.
Wow, so you made a lot of wise choices, and that's the difference between you and a lot of actors that, you know, maybe their families are falling apart. That's awesome. You're pretty balanced.
Yeah, I feel that's hard. I feel bad for when that happens, because I know it's not, no one wants to go through that. And sometimes that can be painful, but, you know, no, we don't always know everybody's story and what's going on with them. And so I would just hope the best for people, that they can figure it out.
Now, I'm going to segue us back to why we have Eric on the show, even as the producer of Caregiver Dave's celebrity segment. Dave, I can see, is very fond of you, Eric, and you guys are both in L.A., so you guys have to connect at one point. But let's talk about, because I love INSP. I love the team there and their great family-oriented movies that they provide and great programming. And Dave just kind of educates, so I can put a little plug in for INSP. You again, all of the Little House on the Prairie is on INSP, and all the different great Westerns are on INSP, but they've moved towards a direction of having original movies every year, once or twice a year, and also original programming. And they have some really interesting superstars for their original programming, but this is one of their original movies, Legal Action, and Eric is one of the stars. So, Eric, tell us about your Legal Action and a little bit about your character.
Well, first of all, I echo your sentiments about the guys over at and gals over at INSP. They're just – it's a really great group of people. They want to tell – good stories, but with content that the whole family can sit down and watch. So Gary Wheeler, who over there, who runs the show, his mantra for them, or the, basically what describes the content, the original programming for INSP is family with an edge. You know, family movies or family stories with an edge. And I think, look, life is edgy. Stories, I think, can be edgy, but I think we can also, I personally like that you can use some restraint and some creativity in your storytelling. You don't have to show everything on the screen. I say leave something to the imagination. And, you know, today I think there's a real push for various reasons, but to really push the envelope. Maybe it's to try and get people talking at the water cooler about what they saw on TV last night. But I think sometimes it's unfortunate that they go that far, and unnecessary, in my opinion. I don't think you have to push it so far. But also, I think you have to take things on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes I think some things that are gratuitous that make a good point may be warranted. That aside, I think that INSP, they've tapped into something great that a lot of people are longing for. You mentioned The Little House on the Prairie. You even mentioned Happy Days, you know, shows like that. That's what I grew up on. I grew up on shows where people faced moral dilemmas, but they made the right choice, even to their detriment sometimes, because or their popularity. But it was about people who did heroic things and people that showed kindness to other people. And, you know, it was about friendship and a lot and family. And those things were really important. And I think, unfortunately, that's gotten lost. And so it's great to see stories like which INSP are doing. And so this particular movie, Legal Action, that I'm a part of is, you know, I play this guy, Casey McKay, who is an attorney. He comes from a long line of Texas Rangers, and he's like seventh generation, but he decides to go the law route. And so he ends up going through law school and start having a practice in Nashville, Tennessee. Unfortunately, because he's a workaholic, he ends up when we start this movie, it's clear that he's a workaholic and that it cost him his marriage, but he still in his heart loves his ex-wife, and she comes to him and asks for help because her brother is in trouble with the law. And because my character Casey still has, you know, love for his ex, he goes to help her. And obviously I think you can kind of guess where the story goes from there, but, it's a really cool story. And, it's got some intrigue, some mystery, some really cool action, some great fight scenes. They made a guy like me look tough in the movie, but it was fun. And I got to work with Tommy Flanagan, who's a fantastic actor, Nick Searcy, who, you know, is a wonderful character actor, across the board, just a really cool group of people.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. Good for you.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie. It airs November 10th on INSP. So it's just coming up here in a couple of days. I'm excited for that. And, it's just a fun movie. I mean, I think, you know, that's what, you know, people want. I want to be able to sit down with her. You know, my 10-year-old niece sat down and watched it, and she loved it. So, and then I know grown-ups have seen it too, and they just, it's just a feel-good movie.
Yeah. We need more stuff like that, and if people would just start watching more of it, then more will come.
There's another channel that does really well that Eric's part of that does that. That's why they're getting tremendous ratings. I don't want to promote them on this show, but Eric knows about it. So I believe that there is a platform for family programming. I think that there is a place for all of that, and that's fantastic.
God's really using you, Eric. Good job.
Yeah. All right. So last thing is Dave has a question to ask all his guests. Go ahead, Dave, and tell the question.
I'm Caregiver Dave, caregiverdave.com. My wife had a stroke 22 years ago, and now she can't talk anymore, and she's paralyzed on the right side. But she makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers because she just reinvented herself. She has strong faith, believes that she's still here. God's not done with her. And so I help other caregivers all over the country who are suffering and feeling pain, and I don't want them to suffer anymore. I don't want them to give up like I almost gave up. So that's what I do, and I'm just so grateful to be able to share it with other caregivers and non-caregivers, because I like to say, if you're not a caregiver, just wait. One day your parents will have a fall or you know, dementia, you name it. You're going to become a caregiver or you're going to need a caregiver. So now is the time to be aware of it and learn how to, you know, become a caregiver.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more, Dave. And I'm sorry you went through that, but, you know, it sounds like, it's a fact that you and your wife, you took the challenge and made a difference. You're making a difference with it and didn't give up. And that I'm thankful to hear that.
God is certainly using it. I wrote a best-selling book by Third, and I'm on television all over the country and speaking at Harvard, speaking at NASDAQ, speaking at West Point. So, you know, I've come into my destiny. Whenever there's something bad that happens, God always turns it around. So that's my story.
That's right. You're living Romans 8:28, brother.
I'd love to have you on my syndicated radio show to caregivers. I think you'd be a great blessing to them. We'll talk.
Yeah. All right. Well, Eric, thanks for calling. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, guys.
And thank you.
November 10th, INSP, the legal action. Good talking, you guys.
Yeah,
great meeting
you guys.
Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. We'll listen to the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.